You are listening to an Elam Christian Center podcast. We hope that you are inspired, encouraged, and empowered by the message you are about to hear.
Does anyone have a favorite day of the week? A favorite day of the week? Friday, yeah? You know, I asked at Accelerate College yesterday what the favorite day of the week was. And do you know how fast the hands of the teachers and the principal went up when I said Friday? And I could think was that maybe they just get to Friday and it's an opportunity for them to reflect on how amazing that teaching week was for them. That's all I can imagine, right? Yeah, we are celebrating Good Friday. But can I say that on Good Friday, it probably didn't feel like a Good Friday for Jesus. It probably didn't feel like a Good Friday for the disciples. It's a fascinating thought when we think of this as a Good Friday, when the one that the disciples loved and had followed and all their hopes and dreams were held within that relationship, and here he is hanging on a cross and breathing his last. That doesn't feel like a Good Friday. And I recognize this morning some of the content that I'm going to share. Parents, we're going to talk about the cross. And there's going to be content. I've obviously been aware of the fact we've got children in here today. I'm not going to go to that place of that graphic content, but I will be sharing some things that it's a little hard to hear. But you know what? Our children need to hear this too. They need to hear what Jesus did and what he went through. And I pray that out of this conversation today, that it would lead to new conversations with you as a family. And you'd talk about it. You'd celebrate it. You'd even weep if that's what it takes to recognize what Jesus went through for us. But we're going to go to the Word as we begin this morning. If you've got your Bibles, please open them to Mark chapter 15, or you can follow along. We've got all the information on the screen behind me. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country. They forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to the place of Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it, and they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. They gambled for his clothing. It was 9 in the morning when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified 2 rebels with him, one on his right, one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe." Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. Let me pray as we look at the Word together. Jesus, we say thank you. Thank you for the way that you endured the cross, that it is a Good Friday today because of what you did. May our hearts respond to you today. May we choose the way of the cross so that we would follow in your example. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, the horror of the cross is too great for us to fully comprehend. The whole purpose of crucifixion was designed by the Romans to inflict the greatest level of pain, prolonged pain, and humiliation upon the victim. They would do it on display, not privately somewhere out the back, but on display so that they would experience the greatest humiliation possible. They would be stripped naked, laid down on the cross that they had to carry themselves. The nails would go through their wrists. And as a cross was put up, they would drop into the ground. And can you imagine the pain through the wrists and through the feet? Those nails, the shock waves that would go through your body. And then you would basically die through suffocation as you can't breathe anymore. A horrific way to die. And that's what Jesus went through for you and for me. It's interesting that Mark records that the people or the soldiers cast lots for his clothing. Even the very last bit of his clothing was taken from him as a symbol to say that Jesus laid down everything. Every earthly possession was laid down. And when the crowds look at this man being crucified, they see Jesus on a cross, and what they see is absolute humiliation. They think they're witnessing a man at the lowest point a man could ever be. And maybe you've experienced humiliation. Maybe you found yourself in the middle of a crowd and people are laughing at you. I remember as a child, my parents used to take us in and we would sing in the hospitals and the nursing homes. And as we would sing, I'd sing with all of my heart. I was maybe 3 or 4 at the time and singing, "My God is so big, so strong," and doing the actions. And I'd just sing and I'd sing. And I looked out and everyone started laughing. Now my tender little heart thought they were laughing at me. I didn't realize they just thought I was probably kind of cute. And they were just kind of laughing because they really loved it. But there was a wound that took place in my heart. And it took me many years before I would ever stand and sing in front of people again. Where have you been humiliated? Where have you stood amongst your peers and they've mocked you or they've scorned you or they've said things about you? In a workplace where you've been humiliated, and in the schoolyard where you've found yourself being mocked and taunted for who you are or what you believe or what you wear or how you look. That humiliation is real and it can go so deep within us that it brings us so low. It strips all of our worth and value and it takes us down to this place of deep pain and hurt. And here, the Messiah, the Son of God, is being treated as a criminal, dying the death of a criminal, being reduced by the perspective of those watching to a weak, powerless man, or so they thought. And Jesus lets them. You got to understand that. Jesus let them. At any point in all of that, he had all the resource and power of heaven and earth that he could have taken and had for himself. And he let them. Why? He gave up his rights and his privileges for you and for me. Well, you and I might have experienced humiliation. We did not, and we will not, and we will never experience what Jesus did. He went to the depths of it for us. What we see is a bad Friday. God is about to show it's a good Friday. Because on the other side of the humiliation, Sunday's coming. Resurrection Sunday is coming. And you know what the people mocked him? They put a placard above his head. You know what they wrote on it? They thought they were mocking him. "This is the King of the Jews." In their mocking, they were declaring the truth. "This is the King of the Jews. He is the King of the Jews." They think they're mocking him, but they were declaring the very truth of the fact that he is the King. And this kind of gives us a little bit of a clue as to what heaven saw. See, we're in the middle of a series, which is, "Do you see what I see?" So often we see the visible, but there is something invisible taking place. There is something supernatural that goes beyond what we see in the natural. And where the crowds are seeing a crucifixion, heaven is seeing a coronation. The King of Kings being lifted high and crowned as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, when Mark is writing this gospel, he actually is writing it for a Roman audience. And so the Roman audience, they've seen a coronation recently of Caesar, the supreme leader of Rome. And so there are parallels when you read the story of the crucifixion that connect to the story of the coronation of Caesar. In his coronation, Caesar was given a robe. He was given an olive branch thorn, an olive branch crown. Those around him would cry, "Hail Caesar." At Jesus' crucifixion, he was given a robe. He was given a crown of thorns. And soldiers declared, "Surely this is the Son of God. This is the King of the Jews." At his coronation, Caesar is paraded through the streets of Rome with a sacrificial animal going alongside him. Jesus at his coronation or his crucifixion was the sacrificial lamb. He was the one that was put on display for the all of humanity. At Caesar's coronation, the procession through the streets ended on Capitoline Hill, which means head hill. Jesus was taken to the place of Golgotha, the hill of the skull, the head. So there is a parallel that's taking place that the Roman readers are saying, wow, they're seeing something that they hadn't seen before. At his coronation, even Caesar was offered a drink of wine mixed with myrrh, which he sacrificially rejects, as did Jesus. At Caesar's coronation, an animal is sacrificed. At Jesus' crucifixion, he is the spotless lamb who takes away the sins of the world. Church, do you see what Mark sees? When the crowd sees a crucifixion, heaven sees a coronation. Where the crowds think they're seeing a man being brought low, heaven is seeing the Son of Man high and lifted up. Mark records that when he breathes his last, the curtain of the temple is torn in two. Not from bottom to top, but top to bottom. And the soldier ultimately plays the role of the herald when he declares, "Surely this man is the Son of God." How many people saw the coronation of King Charles? Bit of pomp and ceremony there. How many people like a good bit of British pomp and ceremony? But you know, there's a moment after he was crowned where there was this declaration from the herald, "All hail the king. Hail the king. God save the king." When Jesus dies, immediately this soldier pays homage to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and declares and heralds, "Surely this man was the Son of God." All of this helps us to understand that the way of humiliation in the eyes of the people is actually God's way of exaltation, this laying down of his rights and his privileges for us. You know, last week we spoke of the way of suffering, which in essence is our surrender, choosing to surrender to him, to his way, to his purposes. And this is what Jesus did when he allowed himself to be crucified, because in his death, all of humanity would be drawn to him. John 12:32, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth," says Jesus, "will draw all people to myself." And Jesus gives up his rights, his privileges to serve others as the way of exaltation. And I want to suggest to you, to me, that the way Jesus lived, that we would too. Would we be prepared to endure humiliation and suffering and sacrifice so that he would be lifted high and he would be glorified? Would that be the way that we would choose as well? Jesus put it like this: "For those who exalt themselves will be humbled." That's kind of sobering, right? Those who exalt themselves will be humbled, but those who humble themselves will be exalted. And sometimes we humble ourselves and we go, "Now it's time to promote me, God." It's like, that's actually not how it works. You know, we think we do an act of humility and then go, "Now, God, you owe me." Nope, that's not how it works. We humble ourselves. And as and when and if God wants to and chooses to, he says, "Now rise into what I've called you into." And we won't rise in pride. We will rise but still stay in that place of humility. Can I ask, would we give up our rights and privileges in order to serve others? Would we consent to be treated as less than we think we deserve in order to love others? Would we let ourselves be reduced in the eyes of others so that maybe God would be glorified? Would we take the way of humiliation and the cross as Jesus did? And friend, these questions challenge the flesh. I don't know if there's any other humans out here today, but I have this constant wrestle with this thing called the flesh. The Bible talks about it. But don't you love some of the words that we sung? The Word became flesh. That Jesus took on humanity and all of what we wrestle with and struggle with and all of those things that could ultimately lead us to death. And yet Jesus resisted that and he honored God. And he said it is possible that we can walk that life. We will never stop wrestling with the flesh, friends. Never ever. Till the last breath we take, the flesh will be a wrestle. But when we know that, and when we know that the Word became flesh, and that our righteousness is found in him and him alone, then when we wrestle with the flesh and we're aware that we've failed and we've fallen, our response is just simple. I just get back on my knees in humility and I say, Jesus, I need you. That is the way of the cross. It's just today I'll get back to the cross. If I've strayed even a moment yesterday, today I get back to the cross. And I live a life of sacrifice and surrender. See, the world will give something different, right? The world says, come on, you take all the credit you deserve. You are an awesome person and you deserve all the accolades, right? That's what the world promises. That's the world. The world says, you should have that. It's your right. You have every right to receive all that praise of all of those people. It says, exalt yourself. But the kingdom way says, choose the path of humility. The world says, the more money you have, the better you are. The more status you have, the higher your status, the more followers you have, the more popular you are, the greater person you become. Jesus says, you want to be great, you've got to be a servant of others. It's like, whoa, that's kind of scary, isn't it? But this is what I've discovered. The higher I put myself and think of myself, the further I seem to fall. If I don't have that high an opinion of myself, but know who I am, okay, there's a difference, okay? I'm not saying that there's this false humility that's out there where we don't step into our gifts and we don't step into our calling and we don't step boldly into what God's got us to do, but we know who we are in Christ and we stay low. I can't fall from the floor because I'm already there. Yeah? I can't fall from that place. If I stay in that place and God says, now get up and step and walk and go. Okay, I go and then I get back to that place again. What if we started our day there? And I'm not saying you have to lie on your carpet every morning in order to do that. But if that is the start of our day, how could we go wrong? How could we possibly go wrong if that is the beginning of our day with Jesus? How do we see the world around us change for the better? Can I tell you? It's self-sacrifice. Lay your life down before the Lord and see what he would do. What's interesting that in the reading of this text, even as Jesus is hanging on the cross, he's given the opportunity for self-exaltation. They go, come on, if you're really that powerful, bring yourself down off the cross. Jesus is like, I know I am. You know? Was that temptation there? Was there even just a little bit in him that might have said, I could prove it to you, and I could flex. You want to see my flex? You know, now, we know that wasn't what he thought. That's what I'd think, right? He had your redemption and my redemption on his heart. That's all he was thinking. Come on, put myself up on there. That's what I'd be thinking. I'll show you the power I've got. He didn't try to display that. His power was coming on Sunday. And even in his death, the whole world and the universe reflected it when the sky went dark. And if you were there when that happened, you would have been going, what is going on? When he breathed his last, the world went, Son of Man, a is dead. But not for long. He only needed a borrowed tomb, didn't he? Didn't need it for long. Wasn't planning to stay there. Because Sunday was coming. As the team come this morning, they're going to minister to us in song. A powerful song by Phil Wickham, which says, Friday's good because Sunday's coming. You know, friends, we're offered the same temptation, aren't we? Every time the enemy says, come down from the cross and take your rightful place. You know, receive the glory, the honor, all the adulation, all. You know, in the early days when I first started ministering and preaching, I loved it when people came and said, oh, that was a great message. I'm like, yeah, it was. It wasn't. I can promise you. Back then, it wasn't. But you know, when people come and say, that was a great message, my question now is, yeah, what did you get from it? I don't want any of that. You know, everyone's going to go, can I go and say he actually preached a good message today? No, probably not. I'm not after that. I don't long for that. In fact, some people come and they want to flatter me. They want to pump my ego. They want to actually make me bigger than I ever should be. And my heart wants to resist that. I don't want that. I want to live a life just being faithful to God and serving him and honoring him. You know, God has called us to choose the way of humility. You know, it's a fascinating story. When Jesus told his disciples he'd be taken into custody, that he would die, that he would rise again, Peter didn't hear the part about he would rise again. You notice that? Peter goes, no, you cannot suffer. His response was, Jesus, no, you can't go to the cross, even though Jesus has said, I'll be crucified, I'll die, but I'll rise again. Peter didn't hear any of that. He's like, I don't want to hear suffering. Sound familiar, friends? I just want the blessings of the cross. Just want the blessings of the cross. Do you want to know Christ? Anyone want to know Christ? Like know Christ, truly know him? This is Paul's reflection. I want to know Christ. Yes. To know the power of his resurrection. Great, put a full stop on that one. The power of his resurrection. That's the end of the sentence, right? Hold on. That's intriguing. It carries on, it says, and participation in his sufferings. Can I suggest that we would run a mile from any gospel that's proclaimed that does not have the right balance of the resurrection power of Jesus and the participation of his suffering? When we suffer for Jesus, the reward that comes is far greater than any accolades or words of any other human being. Jesus rebukes Peter, says, get behind me, Satan. He wasn't necessarily calling Peter Satan. But was he also saying, I reject that temptation to resist the cross? You know, when Jesus rebuked the enemy in that time of temptation, he just spoke the word of God. He just declared the word of God back to the enemy. It is written. This is what Jesus says. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? Friends, while the crowds are seeing a crucifixion, heaven is seeing a coronation. So I ask each of us today to look at the example of Jesus on the cross. To gaze at the Savior who looked at the path of humiliation, which would lead to exaltation. Look again at the crucifixion, coronation of our Jesus, and ask ourselves, am I prepared to lay down my rights and privileges for the sake of others? Am I willing to take the way of Jesus? Yeah, Philippians 2, 1 to 11, it says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And here's why we celebrate Good Friday, because the cross wasn't the end. He wasn't finished. It was not done. There was a coronation that was taking place for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the devil probably screamed with glee as Jesus breathed his last, but that was not his last breath. He went into hell and he took the keys, death and hell. And he was raised to life by the power of God. And it says, therefore God exalted him to the highest place, gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Friends, today we can acknowledge Jesus for who he is. You have communion in your hands. And as the team minister the song, I want to invite you to walk the way of the cross. We have the cross here, representing what Christ did for us. If you need to walk to the cross today physically to present yourself to him in humility, imagine what someone will think. Who cares? I mean, honestly, who cares if somebody thinks you've got to get up out of your seat and go down and kneel before Jesus at the cross? I'm choosing the way of humility. I'll be there in a minute. And would you, at the foot of the cross, respond? Say, Jesus, thank you for your body broken for me. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood poured out for me, for the forgiveness of my sin. And you know what? If you have yet to have that conversation with God, do it right now. I'll speak to that in a moment once the song is finished. But if you're saying, I don't know God, but I need to know him, you can right now in this moment and say, Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I want to live my life for you and follow you with all of my heart. So this morning, would we respond to Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Thank you for listening to this Elam Christian Center podcast. Please subscribe to keep hearing more life-changing messages. For more information about our church, please visit www.elamchristiancenter.org.nz.